Welcome to the show. It is a Thursday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're so glad you're along for this 8th day of June 2023. Gang's all here, JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you can breathe again. It's a much better morning this morning, air quality-wise, here in Ottawa and Eastern Ontario. Not so much for those down in Toronto. But for today, most importantly, here in Ottawa, it is a much better day. As we said, we've got a cloudy day ahead, a little hazy this afternoon. Not nearly the amount of smoke that we've had. Well, yesterday morning was especially bad. It got a little bit better as the day went on. And by last night, it had cleared out most of it. And this morning, we are actually on a scale of 1 to 10 air quality index here in Ottawa. We're a 1 right now. And looks like at most we're going to get to a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, which is considered low risk. So much better day. The wind patterns have changed to push the smoke to the west of us. So Toronto is going to be dealing with the worst of it, it looks like, today. And those were apocalyptic scenes coming from the U.S. and New York yesterday. My goodness. And all they did was blame Canada throughout the day. Thanks, Canada. Anyway, as you wake up this morning, we're sitting at 12 degrees. As we say, good morning, hello, happy Thursday, happy Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final Day to Sean Simpson. How are you doing this morning, Simmer?
Here, once again, 3 for 3 on FanDuel, just rocking and rolling here. I got to start the show off with that, and Hammer's upset. Wow. That's okay. I'm on a hot streak here. We got to admit that. And yeah, waking up this morning, coming outside, nice, fresh, cool air, and how much you appreciate that. And as you said, mentioning New York City, God, that almost looked like September 11th with the haze, and that is absolutely incredible. Some of the shots, as you said, from New York yesterday. So hopefully better days ahead for everybody on the planet, no longer blaming Canada.
Yeah, indeed. So as mentioned, the wind patterns have changed and pushed the worst of the smoke, because the wildfire situation is still bad. It's not like that's improved, unfortunately. But the wind patterns have changed enough to push things, as we said, to the west of us. There's kind of a line that kind of is right at around Peterborough and points Peterborough and west toward Toronto will be especially bad today. But for those of us here in Eastern Ontario, a reprieve after a bad couple of days, as I mentioned yesterday morning. Boy, when I walked out the door yesterday morning, that was really just weird and odd and off-putting. Yeah. It was a little better when I left the station around noon, slightly better.
Yeah.
By last night, it felt a lot better. Yeah. And by this morning, it kind of feels normal this morning. Like I was sort of took a deep breath and went, do I smell smoke? And I wasn't sure whether I smelled any smoke. I don't think that I did.
No. And just some clouds. Now, I am right in saying that the Toronto is called Big Smoke. Is that the nickname? Where did it acquire that from, Jer? Any idea?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe
okay.
the industrial age. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. So anyways, unfortunate, but hopefully that'll calm down. And sounds like, as you mentioned on the news telecast, that Centennial Lake is at least under control as well. So hopefully people get back in there and can enjoy their cottages or homes, and everyone is safe.
They kept the dome closed at Rogers Centre last night for the Blue Jays game.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that helped in part to a 2-hour and 3-minute baseball game,
which
I tried to look up last night. What's the fastest game? There was one right at the start of the year that was 1 hour and 57 minutes.
Wow.
That's
and Toronto people tend to show up late, Jer.
Correct.
You might have only got like an hour of baseball in, and then you're just sitting there and saying to yourself, what am I going to do here? And are they still closing off the beer sales at the 7th inning? I mean, you barely had probably sat down, and you had your pretzel or your hot dog and your beer, and all of a sudden, man, oh, man, the game's over.
I saw some people, because that became one of the storylines after the game. Can you believe how fast the game was over? And now it's reached the point where people who are at the game are kind of complaining a little bit that the game is, they're having to spend so much time in the beer line that they're missing even more of the game than you typically would.
Yeah,
and
that
thought to myself,
that
is a good point.
Yeah. You don't need to complain about everything.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah. No, you
That's
don't.
That's human nature.
Enjoy a 2-hour and 3-minute game.
They got to do the old BYOB. Hey, you should just be able to. Hey, got my little cooler here. I'm just popping in. Got some snacks. Hey, I'm not going to leave my seat now.
Now, does Buddy, who walks up and down the aisle selling beer, is the price of his or her beer the same as the beer I actually get up and go stand in line for?
I think so.
I think there's a bit more variety kind of back in the concourse than fella has.
Well, you can either go with Bud Light or Bush Light. Hey,
yeah, tall boys. Them, actually,
six Bush Light, six Bud Light, and I love them, tall boys.
Well, you can only order two at a time.
Two at a time, yeah. You can maybe get some buddies in the row to help you out there with your order.
Yeah, I think you get a couple of varieties there and maybe a Twisted Tea as well.
But everybody must just be piling up, though, right? Everybody go. You get your doubles, and then you go back, and then all of a sudden everyone's just like sitting there. Yeah, that is pretty amazing, though.
Awesome.
Well, it's also different, though, right? I mean, an NBA game, I'm assuming, JR, is played in a certain amount of time. We know soccer is exact. Football, a little different. But hockey, you know, when I go to my Sens game, it starts at 7:10. It's going to end at 9:45. No, I'm just saying, though, like, it is amazing how a sporting event like baseball could be so open-ended. Like, from a programming standpoint, and, well, God, you worked in this business forever. Like, do you imagine trying to schedule this where you don't know if it's going to be anywhere between 2 or 3 hours? That's bizarre.
Well, then work in a rain delay.
Yeah,
work in what Mother Nature can
do as well.
That's
true. That's true.
Yeah. Well, baseball's the only you know, kind of team sport without a clock, right? At the end of the day, so that's why
very open ended. Yeah.
Anyway, Blue Jay won. Blue Jays won. That two nights in a row in which I've watched a little bit of Blue Jays games, which is very rare for me at this time of year.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I watched probably
nights ago. There was nothing else going on. How come you didn't sit back and enjoy and watch the whole thing?
And I did watch most of it last night. I watched more of the basketball than I watched of the baseball.
Sure, that's fine. That's okay.
But actually, by the time the baseball game was over, which was about 9:10, the basketball game had barely begun. It tipped off at 8:30. It was about the end of the first quarter when the baseball game was over. So it was a good variety. Tonight we got Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final from Florida. Of course, the Panthers in need of a victory, down 2-0 to Vegas. We'll have the game for you tonight at 8 o'clock, 7:30 pregame show. Again, Vegas up 2-0. Mike Johnson is down in South Florida. He will join us as our TSN Hockey Insider coming up after 8 o'clock. And we got lots to get to today with MJ, including our top story of the day, with Pierre LeBrun now reporting that Alex DeBrincat and his agent have submitted a list of, as it was termed, preferred destinations that Alex DeBrincat would be open to being traded to. And one would presume from that be also open to signing a long-term contract, which may benefit the Ottawa Senators in terms of a possible return. So we'll go through all of that, but that was certainly a big story from last night. So we'll go through all of that and all of the other hockey news, a couple of signings yesterday. And if you think that DeBrincat and the Sens is a unique story, it's not. It's the exact same thing with Pierre-Luc Dubois and the Winnipeg Jets right now. The exact same thing is going on in Winnipeg.
Except his list is only one team.
Yes.
That's, I have a preferred destination, not pluralized, right?
Well, if somebody's willing to pay him enough, maybe that would change his mind. But you're right.
But you must be with him, though. Like, again, this whole mysterious thing in Columbus and Winnipeg and kind of wanting to go to Montreal. Man, oh man,
he's a really good player, but we're not talking about a top 20 player in the National Hockey League.
No, I'd be really kind of trying to dig under what the hell's going on here.
Right.
Like, what is this all about?
All right, we'll talk lots of hockey and set up game 3 for you tonight. We will talk about the historic night in the NBA last night. Two players, this never happened in the history of any NBA game, not just playoffs, any NBA game ever. Two players had triple-doubles in the same, two teammates in the same game. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, as Denver takes Game 3 over the Heat, 109-94. So we'll chat about that. Yeah, the Blue Jays, second straight great start, second straight win over the Stros. So we'll go through all of that and a ton of other stuff to get to on this Thursday morning. We're glad you're with us. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:23. Mentioned the smoke situation much better here in Ottawa and Eastern Ontario this morning. Not expected to be a very good day. In Toronto later today and this afternoon. And wondering, as they tee off the opening round of the Canadian Open, in fact, opening tee shot 7 o'clock this morning, Rory McIlroy 7:30, whether if it's bad enough, and the prediction is, let me just look at my Air Quality Ontario Health Index prediction for this afternoon for Toronto, is 9 higher on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being good and 10 being no good. It's a 9 this afternoon in Toronto. Wondering if that potentially may affect whether they send golfers out this afternoon. They canceled baseball games yesterday because of the smoke. If the situation is bad enough in Toronto, I'm wondering if that may affect the opening round of the Canadian Open. Anyway, we'll keep our eye on that throughout the day today. But the tournament's set to tee off. And Rory McIlroy going for the three-peat at the course. He was talking yesterday, of course, at the big news conference we carried for you live, his reaction to the news of LIV and the PGA. What are we going to call it? Since he very much insisted that we're not calling this a merger. What are we going to call that?
It's a takeover. Okay. No, that's what it is. It's a takeover.
The Saudis taking over men's golf.
No, they are. I mean, I don't really, this idea that you're merging, you are being basically taken over. I think the realization, and this is part of what I guess is going to slow down, was going to slow down the defection, Jer, you just quite simply couldn't match the purses. I mean, again, you can talk all these moral high, all the high ground, all the stuff that was going out. The players are quite simply looking at it and realizing, we can't do this. And a big part of the PGA is a nonprofit. Was that part of their thing? They can only give out so much purse money, right? And they couldn't go high enough and all of a sudden realize, we've got to get absorbed. And like anything else in the world, I'm sure the payday for everybody involved on the PGA Tour as far as the people running it and what financially this meant for them individually, that's a big part of it.
Anyway, Rory went on to, after he was asked, pretty much 98% of the talk was his reaction to that because he's the biggest name in golf who stuck with the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And then somebody asked him at the end, what do you think of the golf course? And he said, I played 9 holes. I was surprised because I thought he would follow up by saying, I'm going to go out again, later today and play the other 9. Mm-hmm. But he has so many sponsor obligations and just obligations as a two-time defending champion of this event. He's not even going out and playing the other 9. So I hope caddies, of course, walk every course beforehand and do, notes in the yardage book and everything like that. But it's not like you as the person who hits the shots probably don't get a little better feel for everything. But he's going to be playing and I think he said he played the back 9, be playing the front 9 blind today in his opening round. Again, sets tee off at 7:30.
Yeah, and sure sounds like from a Toronto perspective, JR, and you understand what a melting pot it is, but it certainly feels like he's very comfortable being there. And I would assume most people from the UK, and when you come over, you realize that Canada, the link to that, but it appears that he's really enjoyed his time in Toronto. So maybe a little dinner and a little time out, as you said, with sponsors and everything else. But I wouldn't say he's not taking it seriously, but he's not taking it seriously.
Okay, there we go. All right, so we got our eyes as well on the mixed doubles final. The French Open, or the Roland Garros, as it's now known, because Bianca Andreescu is in the final, and they're down 3-1 in the opening set. Of course, she beat Ottawa's Gabby Dabrowski in the semifinals yesterday. So we'll keep our eye on that for you. But let's start with hockey and not teeing up Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. We'll do that perhaps later and talk to Mike Johnson down in South Florida a little later on this morning, but certainly some interesting news yesterday on the TSN insider trading front. This from TSN's Pierre LeBrun.
Alex DeBrincat's camp, led by agent Jeff Jackson, has submitted a list of preferred destinations, teams that his client would be interested in joining. And the reason that's significant is, of course, if Pierre Dorion does trade Alex DeBrincat, he would want him to be signed through this trade so he gets maximum value back in return. Think of Matthew Tkachuk's deal from Calgary to Florida last year. So don't know who exactly is on that list, but that list has been submitted.
There you go. Now, he did, Pierre LeBrun, of course, writes for The Athletic as well. In his writings yesterday, the rumblings columns, he called it, rumors that he hears and following the Stanley Cup Final, did suggest that Nashville, Vegas, and Dallas could be spots DeBrincat might like to land in. What do those three teams all have in common? They all play in no-tax states. Other than that, I don't know. We can talk about destinations in just a second. But, of course, Pierre Dorion, Sens GM, was on TSN 1200 last week, mentioned their preferred option. His preferred option was signing Alex DeBrincat to a long-term contract, but did mention other options, which included offering him a qualifying offer, to play next year here in Ottawa, a final year, potentially go to club-elected salary arbitration, which might reduce his number by as much as 15% or $1.3 million. Or, as he said, if they're not open to signing a contract or being here in Ottawa long-term, trading him. Yeah. And so what Pierre LeBrun report last night tell you?
It tells me a guy doesn't want to be here, JR. So you cross the line now in a season, once again, where you're trying to make the playoffs – okay, first of all, what are you going to do? Take the guy to arbitration, then have him come back in training camp? Now you've reduced his salary and he doesn't want to be here, so throw that out the window. And you really have gotten to a point where you're probably going to have to trade him. Now, of the three destinations, I don't see a fit with Vegas. I'm not sure from a Dallas cap standpoint, we'll see. And I'd be very curious from the Nashville Predators side, what is Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette? Certainly fits into the style that Andrew Brunette likes into Barry Trotz, but also in a kind of a rebuild. I guess I'm looking at it in Nashville, but are Nashville saying, listen, I got a little Matt Duchene action for you here. I got
a little reboot.
I got a little Ryan Johansson action.
A little Dutchie,
you know,
reboot.
But you know, again, this is a really delicate spot here. Probably one of the biggest moves. And in reviewing the summer of Pierre, we'll see. You know, this is interesting because part of me thinks, and again, high risk. And then I'm saying, okay, seventh pick overall, which sounds great. Sounds real sexy. You know, we'll see where it turns out as far as the Chicago pick. Recovery could be real strong here.
Yes.
But it really just depends how this plays out. And like I said, if you looked at, you know, honestly, if you said from an Ottawa Senators perspective, and I won't say Huberto and Uyghur, but when you honestly look at that and said, well, if you could ever, you know, fit a couple of defensemen or fit a couple of players in that really work versus a seventh pick overall, you know, this could end up turning out to be somewhat favorable, but let's see what ends up happening here. Who is actually interested in Alex DeBrincat? Who's interested in a contract extension for him? And how many teams does that end up being? What is the value at the end of the day? It's going to be this is a monster move for the Ottawa Senators. I mean, it's a very, very pivotal move that's going to be made here that I think will really, really kind of show you what the short and long-term future of the club is going to be.
Now, what's interesting to me in all of this is, and Pierre LeBrun mentioned it in the piece there, of a Matthew Tkachuk-like scenario for Ottawa. And it was a similar, in fact, it's very similar to what went down with Matthew. And I'm suggesting for a day that Alex DeBrincat has the value of Matthew Tkachuk. But we're talking about a player who is coming off a three-year contract in which the final year was for $9 million. And so that was going to be his qualifying offer. And he had one more year of restricted free agency before becoming a UFA. And Matthew Tkachuk told the Calgary Flames last summer, look, I'm going to be honest with you here. I'm not going to sign here long term.
Yeah.
But here is a list, and I believe his list was five teams long of teams I am willing to sign with long term. Mm-hmm. And that should help you, the Calgary Flames at that point, get a more favorable return, a bigger return if the team that's acquiring me in this case is going to be assured that I'm going to be signing there long term. And that's the way that it played itself out. Yeah. Now, you could argue, did Calgary get great value? Certainly at the time, we all thought it was a great trade. Jonathan Huberto had a really down year. Yeah. Was he fighting with the coach? Will he have, will he return to his previous form this year? Remains to be seen. Mackenzie Weegar, really good defenseman. They also got a first-round pick in that as well. It's a pretty healthy return
for
the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
If Alex DeBrincat and his camp, as the story goes now, have there's a similar scenario here, and it plays itself out that he's it's not just about, quote, preferred destinations, but in that by preferred destinations, they're essentially inferring I'm willing to sign long term in these places, then it's very much the possibility that the Ottawa Senators could get a good return, strong return in return for Alex DeBrincat.
Well, you hope so. And you go back to the Mark Stone situation, very different in that it's a trade deadline. You got some time to work on this year. Now, most of this you would think would happen before the draft. Now, let's also remember, though, and this is the real trick to the trade, Huberto and Uyghur were traded, and they had a year left in their contract. There was no guarantee they were going to re-sign with the Calgary Flames. Calgary Flames had to step up and give up mega contracts. Are the Ottawa Senators in the position like that? And when you are now turning around and acquiring the players, you have no guarantee that they're going to re-sign with you. So let's see what the assets are. Let's see what the trade ends up being. I'm assuming with one of these teams, you could probably recover a first-round pick. Now we'll see where that pick ends up being. But yeah, it's real interesting. Simply the fact that this is laying out this way, though, does give you an opportunity versus the old, listen, I'm just going to take my qualifier. I'm not interested in signing a contract extension with anybody. No, this sounds like he wants long-term security. You've got time to talk about this to try to work it out. So this is something that could turn out to be very favorable for Ottawa, but let's see.
Is a return of a first-round pick really, though, what you want if you're the
Ottawa Senators?
I mean
as part of a package here.
They have the trades for DeBrincat a summer ago and for Chychrun in the middle of last season.
Yeah.
They have
fast-forwarded their rebuild. They put it on steroids and said, we don't want to wait. We're putting it into high motion here, and we're going to try to get it going. So now that DeBrincat has told them, I don't want to be here long-term, I don't think you're going down the road of futures in an Alex DeBrincat trade. I don't think that does you any good at all.
No, I'm just saying it's part of a package that Calgary got here. No, for sure.
Or I think, it becomes part of, if it is a futures trade, it's part of a three-way trade in which you take the futures, you deal it off somewhere else.
For sure, yeah.
So I guess the question now is, if you're Pierre Dorion, and not that you're probably going to have your choice, you're going to have to take the best deal, but what is the best deal centered on if you're the Ottawa Senators right now? Is it a singular goal-scoring type player like an Alex DeBrincat? Is that the best they should do or the direction they should go in? Should it be to use the money and maybe spread out a little bit, maybe a couple of players to really round out the depth of the team? So I'm talking more about a couple of middle six players. Or should it be to maybe find a long-term solution to the goaltending? Or should it be if, make the argument, it's not a good one for me, but should it be a futures-based deal? Yeah. Should it be involving multiple draft picks or prospects?
Yeah.
So of those options, and if you've got another one to add to the pile, let me know.
Because I'm thinking
there's a web poll question in there.
Yeah.
What would be the preferred option for Sean Simpson, Ottawa, Canada?
Well, no, if you're talking about Nashville and they're interested in trading Yusuf Saros, so I'd look at something like that, absolutely. But I'd also say from a Nashville standpoint, if you're turning around and making a trade like this, JR, you need your goaltender, right? I mean, you're not talking about a rebuild. You're talking about a retool.
They have Askarov, but Saros is the here and now.
Oh, exactly, and that would be a point to that. So, I'm open to anything as long as they're good players, JR.
I know, but I've given you four options.
Yeah.
What's the Sean Simpson preferred option?
Well, I just want the best player. Now, you know, that to me, when you've traded for an Alex DeBrincat, and it's a seventh pick overall, once you start dicing this up, and I'll go back to the Jason Spezza trade, we're getting a player now in Chiasson, and we're getting futures in Mr. Paul, and what was the other fella's name that came
Alex
in?
Alex Guptill.
Oh, the old Guptill.
Where is he now?
You start to split some of these trades up. A Brännström and a second-round pick. You go through some of these things here. I just want good players at this point. The Ottawa Senators have needs. I'm certainly not...
What if I told you the two middle six players are good players?
Yeah.
What if it was a Connor Brown-type player and something of the ilk of that maybe could score a little
No, no, if you, told I mean? Me, no, if you told
like
me...
Two decent players.
If you told me I was getting Barbashev and Brown, I'd be interested in that. But also realistically, and that would point to about the same salary as DeBrincat. No, I'm open to it. But like I said, this is the hypothetical of...
Yeah.
Okay, what are you going to get back? And again, I put a little something out on Twitter yesterday. I would approach this personally from a Sens perspective of, I understand the seventh pick overall, which isn't the end of the world based on the defenseman we saw for the World Junior. You know, you're not talking about a star player. So you got Alex DeBrincat right now. You've got a situation where he's going to sign a contract extension. I would look at kind of duos up front. I'd go a little Tkachuk-Norris. I'd end up going a little bit of Stützle and Giroux, and I'd go Batherson and Pinto. And then I'd say to myself, listen, I got three slots here that I need to build a balanced hockey club. So if I could fill a couple of those slots with, and I'm not talking Matthew Josephs, I'm not talking guys that are definitely bottom guys. I'm talking, as you said, impact players. You tell me it's a Barbashev and Brown, that type of player that's going to fill my lineup to complement my duos right now? Yeah, I'd be very interested in that.
You've got Formanton still as a wild card.
Greg is, and again, there is nothing wrong with Ridly Greig other than the physical maturity.
Right.
I'm not, there's no negative, you know, people say, well, you pencil in Ridly Greig. Hey, Ridly Greig's going to be a hell of a hockey player. He's going to be a top six forward in the National Hockey League. What I can't tell you is when the physical maturity is going to come. So from a trade standpoint, it's interesting. But the intrigue or the part of is, listen, nobody's going to give you the value of Alex DeBrincat one for one back unless it's a very comparable contract.
Right.
And then you would ask yourself, well, why are they doing that? And they're certainly not going to give you a $5 million Alex DeBrincat. I mean, why? Like, you know, and so now coming up with this, and this is the part where, and I'll say for Calgary, once they got the guys re-signed, which I still look at it, and I think with Huberto and Uyghur, you had no choice, JR, right? They're entering the final year of their contract. You're not just going to let them walk out the door. You fancied yourself as a playoff team. So who is coming back? What are the contracts? What are you looking to try to do? Like I said, I'm just real... This is a very, very pivotal move for the Ottawa Senators because, quite simply, as you eliminate Alex DeBrincat and you look at the forward group right now, along with the questions in goaltending, I like the defense when healthy. They're not good enough. You know, they're not good enough to be a playoff team. There's enough question marks on Norris coming back, Batherson rebounding, Drew getting older. You love Tkachuk and you love Stützle, and I actually very bullish on a guy like Pinto as well and some of the other pieces. But it's not. It's quite simply internally not good enough right now. So this is a huge, huge move for the Ottawa Senators.
Well, there are certainly some question marks. Every team will go into the offseason, into the new season with optimism. All the things that you point out are question marks for you. Yeah. A team might look at it and go, well, the flip side of that argument would be, maybe Josh Norris does rebound.
Absolutely.
Maybe, you know, he's undergone. He's finally cleaned out that shoulder. And maybe he'll be exactly like Shane Pinto and be a really great hockey player and be like the hockey player he was a couple of years ago.
For sure, for sure.
The question for me is, if you decide not to go down the road of getting a somewhat equivalent talent of an Alex DeBrincat, a goal scorer, Claude Giroux had an outstanding year last year. No debating that. I think it was better than anybody had suspected. But Claude Giroux is 35 years old.
Yeah.
And there is every reason to believe that at some point, and it may be as soon as this next season, that his production is probably going to go down. And look, he's only signed here for a couple more years as well. This is not a long-term solution to building out these duos, as you talked about. So Claude Giroux is going to eventually... he's going to fall off the map in terms of these duos. If you don't have Alex DeBrincat, which it does not look like you're going to have now because he looks like he wants to get traded, and you don't bring back an equivalent of that, in my opinion, you don't have anything in the system at all. With all due respect to Ridly Gregg, who I agree with you, I think is going to be a good hockey player, but does not bring, it looks like, that, you know, that elite goal-scoring portion to his game. Yeah. You don't, all of a sudden you look and that goal-scoring part of things gets very thin very quickly.
Oh, big time.
For Ottawa.
Yeah, no, it does. And, you know, Batherson, as far as rebounding, I expect him to be a better hockey player, better all-around hockey player. As you said, there's points that you point to and you look at the crew. And as you said, with Drew, realistically, in the next couple of years, you really hope you're getting to the promised land. Yeah, you can't count on him at 37 years old, but you've got Stützle. You've got Tkachuk, you've got Norris, you've got Batherson, and I'll put Pinto in that mix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got my five guys, but it also is just really rounding out. And the Ottawa Senators, although finishing strong, last year were 26th in scoring, 5-on-5 with 151 goals. 78 of those came from the top line. Like, this is just not good enough. You have to go through that and understand 5-on-5, where you want to be as a hockey club. And as you said, the depth that was lost. And you go back to the Paul, the Brown, the Formanton. I sound like a repeat-a-burrow here. But you've chipped away at the depth now. There has to be a lot of improvement on the bottom six. And at the same time, as you said, this move to balance everything else out, it's very, very important here for the Ottawa Senators. And Ridly Gregg will be, and I would argue, down the road as he gets into his physical maturity, who would I want on my team, Alex DeBrincat or Ridly Gregg? Well, I'm a big Ridly Gregg fan, and Alex DeBrincat didn't show me a guy that's going to be a lights-out, unbelievable playoff player. He's a very good offensive player, and it's hard to replace that. But as far as long-term value, I really like Ridly Gregg, but that's not, I don't think, going to be in the here and now as far as next year.
So if we agree that replacing Alex DeBrincat's goals is a huge thing, and whether it's in the Alex DeBrincat trade or some other trade, because the draft is not going to offer... And there's no prospect in the system right now that has that. They don't have, again, this year, for the third straight year, the second straight year, they don't have a first-round draft pick. And let's say they do next year. Well, in all probability, that player is not going to be somebody who's going to pay off for you for a couple of... So that's so far down the road.
Yeah.
Is it realistic to think, if I were to say, and you brought up Saros, if I were to say to you, okay, trade Alex DeBrincat, and you get your... goalie situation solved. And Saros is a great example.
Yeah.
Right? That if you got UC Saros, you'd go, okay, we're set. We're good in goal now.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
If I were to say, okay, you got your, we're set for the next half decade in net because we're acquiring X.
Yeah, for sure.
For Alex DeBrincat. Is that a good trade for Ottawa? Again, given the fact that goal scoring may become an issue.
Yeah, it's a good trade in the here and now, but I'm trying to balance on the goaltending. I think I may have that in Sogard. but at the same time, not absolute. So if it's UC Saros, I can't use any other name, JR. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in that for sure, because absolutely, that brings me the stability. Now, you have other things that you've got to try to, you know, to solve, but I'd be interested in that. And then you go back to, as you said, as far as a forward group, and as I pointed out many times, the reach on Boucher at 10, the 7th pick overall, now the 12th pick overall, these are very, very pivotal moves here, and that is where the 10th pick overall and totally reaching off the board versus going for a higher-end player, those three picks right there are going to have a big impact going forward, and that's why the recovery on DeBrincat is even more important, because you don't have anything to really show. I guess the offensive chuck at some point, but again, we're talking a bottom six forward. That Boucher draft just was not very good at the end of the day.
All right, your thoughts on anything we chat about is welcome. Lots of texts pouring in already. We'll get to some of those coming up. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. And again, the news from Pierre LeBrun last night in Insider Trading that DeBrincat and his agent, Jeff Jackson, have submitted a list of, quote, preferred destinations that the winger would like a trade to. How long is that list? That'll be a topic maybe for the next hour. What teams might it include? And if we spitball on what teams it might include, what might be players on that team that they would be willing to give up for Alex DeBrincat? We can go through that next hour, but certainly very, very interesting. Clock ticking on Alex DeBrincat's future with the Ottawa Senators, it seems. It's 6:45. We'll take a break and back with much more on this Thursday morning. A smoke-free Thursday morning here in Ottawa on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:48 on this Thursday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Couple of texts have come in on our Alex DeBrincat discussion. Hey, gents, feels like trading DeBrincat gives the Sens the opportunity to be a better constructed forward core, get bigger and faster, but could also blow up in their face. That comes from Unsigned.
You know what? It is an opportunity. But unfortunately, when you look back to last summer, Jer, and a lot of hype, a lot of excitement, and unfortunately, I can't think of anything other than Giroux. When you look at the Joseph extension, Gus the Bus for Talbot, I guess getting rid of Matt Murray, which was a mistake, a couple of buyouts and everything else that happened, it has not turned out to be very good. But I will say, if you're sitting there, say you're sitting right now, what is the defenseman's name? I'm sorry, with Chicago, they drafted 7th
Kevin
overall?
Kevin Korchinski.
Okay, if you're sitting with Korchinski or you're sitting with DeBrincat right now and you're saying, I want to improve my hockey club, there's no doubt that Alex DeBrincat with a contract extension, JR, would have greater value. So there is an opportunity here. The question is, what is the recovery? And what is based on the pro side history here in Ottawa? Pierre Dorion quite simply has to hit a home run on this. This isn't one of those ones where Brian Murray talked about Jason Spezza and said you can never win trades like that. You need a winner here. You need something big. You need basically, let's do a little Pacioretty action. Let's get Suzuki and whatever else is involved. That's exactly what you're looking at right now, not to mention a better player, younger player, and a contract extension. That's what you need, a player that's just either right on the verge, stepping out a junior. You can even go back to the Tuck and Krebs trade for Eichel. You need something very similar to those trades where you're getting, I'm not expecting, you know, a couple stars to come over, and I don't think it's even realistic to say Barbashev and a Brown type. Now, I know they're both unrestricted free agents, but you know what I mean, Jer? You're looking at the Eichel trade. You're looking to Pacioretty. You're looking at trades around the league where you can bring in a guy like Tuck that can make an impact to your club right now, and Krebs, who is very close and, well, stepped right into the National Hockey League as well. That's what you need for Alex DeBrincat. You need a home run right now.
You could certainly, and it, you know, well documented, well reviewed, well litigated, the trade history, the pro trade history of Pierre Dorion. There's been more misses than hits. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Mm-hmm. The draft and develop has been, for the most part, really good. The pro side trades have not been as good in the pro signings. Now, Ryan Bonus was added to the team last year as assistant general manager. There are a lot of people around the NHL that I'm told think very highly of him and his abilities. And he had a pro role with the Pittsburgh Penguins, which is where he came from. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for potentially why a trade that may come for Alex DeBrincat this summer, you may see a better return. Maybe it's just having Ryan Bonus on the staff as being part of the think tank on a trade that maybe that may – may see a better return. Yeah, I'll throw that out there.
No, for sure, Jerry. And appears to be a very bright guy. That term, and I worked in the industry for a long time, the hype around people, and I'm not saying it isn't. I'd have to look back to the Pittsburgh Penguins and what incredible moves were made there, which I'm not saying that they were or weren't. And then as far as what Ottawa did since he's arrived, and as I said, you're right. At least you have an infusion of somebody different on the staff.
New ideas.
Exactly. So, yeah, you're pointing to that and you're hoping to that. That's what ends up happening.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today, just to follow up on the question I put to you, Simmer, is this. What is the preferred return on an Alex DeBrincat trade for you? You're an Ottawa Senator fan, maybe even if you're not.
Yeah.
Is it A, similar goal-scoring forward? Is it B, added depth middle six players? Is it a goalie? Or is it first-round pick and futures? Mm-hmm. That sort of a package.
Yeah.
Now, I understand it could be a combination thereof. Mm-hmm. That's probably maybe even the best one. But, hey, listen, we need strong opinions, and we got to draw lines in the sand.
Yeah. Can I fit a Tuck and Krebs? Does that fit any of them?
That's sort of added depth, middle six.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll go with that then. That's what I'm going with there.
You're going added depth, middle six.
Well, unless the goalie's name is anything other than UC Saros, I could be talked into that, but I'll go with the improvement. I'm going with Tux and Krebs. That sounds like a TV show.
Sure. Sounds like Miami Vice, actually. Wasn't
Crockett. Crockett and Tubbs.
Crockett and Tubbs. All right. Your added depth middle six type. Okay. Hammer.
Simmer and I think so similarly, because I was Saros, if that name's in there, I'm going goaltending all the time. If it's some package with the Flyers and it's Carter Hart, I'm a little more apprehensive about it, but
understanding that nothing is a sure
thing.
That's
right.
Okay?
But for me, and I'm taking all that out, you need to shore up goaltending. Mm-hmm. I'm going goaltending.
You're going goalie?
You need a goalie.
Okay. All right. And I am going to go with a similar goal scoring forward, because I've got a lot of concerns about the Ottawa Senators' abilities, given what they have and what they have coming, which is not a lot in terms of elite goal scorers. And again, with no first round pick again this year, I think they need to recover on the side of somebody who's got the ability to put the puck in the net. So I will go similar goal scoring forward.
So you're looking for a Hossa Heatley type deal?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, who that player is, we can spitball. That'll be maybe the topic for next hour. But
are you replacing with a healthy Josh Norris? And I know you wanted to get to another subject. Are you not really replacing, if he's from 2 years ago, Josh Norris, replacing those goals right away that Alex DeBrincat had?
But did the Ottawa Senators score enough goals last year? Simmer just said, what was it, 26th in the NHL?
Yeah, 26, 151.
And Josh Norris was awesome with the 35 goals. But let's not forget, 16, I think it was, were on the power play, which is great. Goals are goals. I understand that. Yeah. But Josh Norris, in terms of adding to the 5-on-5 scoring, was okay, but not great.
Yeah. Right? So, and the slot on the power play, and the power play worked very well. DeBrincat's part of it. So Norris will hop back on. Also, Norris had 20 assists. One thing I'll say, and then again, from what I've seen in the small sample size, Alex DeBrincat is an excellent playmaker. I would argue outside of Stützle, Drew is very good as well, but that's one thing. I'm not just looking for a one-dimensional goal scorer, and I understand what you're saying, Hammer, but at the same time, it wasn't good enough to make the playoffs. You want forward progress to that. Norris, DeBrincat, Batherson as a mix with the top line. I'm looking at the top nine. That is, with Pinto, I got 7. Now I'm looking for a couple of more. By the time I take DeBrincat out, and I'll put Pinto as well. Pinto had 15 even-strength goals last year, guys, out of his 20 goals. There's a lot of upside there. I even talked about last year, I think there's a point where he could equal Norris or move past him. So there's lots of ways to look at it. But, yeah, you are taking out quite a bit. But I'm also being realistic, JR. When you get into, and I don't know the backstory of the Heatley for Hossa, you understand where Heatley's situation was personally. You understand Hossa with the contract being signed. You are now limiting, if that's the 3-4 teams that are in, and just say it's Nashville, Dallas, and Vegas. Like, you are now completely limiting. And the idea that they're going to send anybody your way, like, are you calling and saying, listen, I like that Robertson fella, or that Rupi Hintz. Is that how you say it? They're probably saying, I got a Tyler Seguin. It's Tyler, right? Tyler Seguin. I got a Tyler Seguin for you. Easier said than done, to find those fits in today's world, and not to mention the salary cap now.
All right, so we need your vote. TSN1200.ca. What is the preferred return on an Alex DeBrincat trade? Similar goal-scoring forward, added depth, middle six-type players, a goalie, or a first and futures? Those are your four options. Let us know what you think at TSN1200.ca.
One other link, and I'll look up, JR. Was Andrew Burnett an assistant coach with Joel Quenneville? Would they have had DeBrincat at all? Or is that long gone? I guess they would have been to Florida.
DeBrincat's been there since 2017-ish.
Okay. I'll have to look that up. I wonder if there is a link to Andrew Brunette, which we can draw. Obviously, that would have fit into exactly the way that Bruno loves to play. But Bruno was in Chicago with Joel Quenneville right to the very end, then went to Florida with him, I believe.
Yeah. I think the question for me in Nashville is, given what they did at the trade deadline, and are they going into a rebuild? Are they going into a restoration? Mm-hmm. Kind of taking what they have and moving the furniture around, or are they going to try to get right back to the top again? I'm not quite sure what's going to be going on in Nashville. So that would, would they be in on an Alex DeBrincat? I mean, listen, he's not old by any means whatsoever.
No,
he's 25.
No,
in fact, he's right in the prime of his career, but you're also into his prime money-making years as well. You're going to have to, whichever team is going to be acquiring Alex DeBrincat in a trade is going to be paying that player in excess of $8 million per year.
Yeah.
He's going to be a front-line player for you for the probably the next 8 years. Yeah. All right, 6:58. Look at that. We've run out of time in the first hour. Didn't even get to the NBA story last night. The record breaker for Murray and Jokic as Denver beats the Miami Heat. We can talk about that more in the next hour, but I do want to continue with the DeBrincat discussion because and we can spitball this a little bit, and if you've got some ideas as well, what maybe are Alex DeBrincat's, quote, preferred destinations for a trade? You know, a lot of people automatically default as a Michigan guy to the Detroit Red Wings. I don't know. You've said many times, Simmer. Sometimes it's not the best thing. No, people don't want to play at home, so... we can talk about what those preferred destinations might be. And within that, be some of the players on those teams that maybe are realistic. I'll use that word, realistic options, in terms of a return that the Ottawa Senators could be looking at in an Alex DeBrincat trade. I know lots of people like to throw out lots of names. I find a lot of those sort of trades usually have an Ottawa Senator kind of a slant to them. In other words, fairly one-sided. Realistic trade options on Alex DeBrincat. We'll get into that discussion coming up next hour as well. Mike Johnson will join us live from South Florida. Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final goes tonight at 8 and right here on TSN 1200.